And with me in the KRVS studios now with the Eunice Players Theater are Jody Powell and John Schneider here to talk about The Glass Mendacity. And The Glass Mendacity is a spoof on some plays by Tennessee Williams. Jody actually has been in our studios before talking about that play, but now you're doing it with the Eunice Players Theater. Where was it performed before, Jody?
It was at Cité des Arts. Nathaniel T. Productions was our producer for it.
Okay, and you were acting in it or directing at
that
time?
I was the director then.
You were the director. Mm-hmm. So you brought it to Eunice. And how's it going over there in Eunice? Y'all are going to open next week.
So far, so good. We got such a good response from it in Lafayette that I thought it would be very good as our season opener for the Eunice Players Theater 44th season. We like to open the season with a good comedy, a big cast, and I thought this was the perfect vehicle for that.
44 years in Eunice, y'all have been performing
years
plays.
In that same little spot.
Mm-hmm. That's really amazing. I mean, that reveals a great interest in theater in mm-hmm. Eunice and a continued passion for attending and performing and creating these plays.
Yes. And this play, The Glass Mendacity, is a spoof of three of Tennessee Williams' plays, and two of the three plays have been done on the Eunice stage.
Which two have been done there?
The Glass Menagerie and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
So those audiences will definitely get some
of
the jokes.
Gosh, they were both in the 80s, so there's not too many season ticket holders still around, but these plays are so famous, they've been done in other locations, and I'm sure some of our season ticket holders have seen them somewhere else, if not on our stage.
Okay, well, we'll walk people a little bit through those plays so they get a sense of the spoof. Now, John, how long have you been in theater?
Oh, well, I did my first show when I was 16.
Okay.
So,
high school production?
Years. Yeah, something like it was a community theater, and Opelousas. And
that
little
theater has been running a long time as well.
They have, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's found a good support base, and it's still going pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. And who do you play in this? You play a variety of characters, right? Is that how it works?
No. This one, I play Stanley Kowalski, which will remember Marlon Brando did it in the film A Streetcar Named Desire. Of course, it's a different relationships amongst the characters, different scenario in this show, but it is Stanley Kowalski, the brute from Streetcar.
Do you get to say the famous line?
There's a joke. There's a play on words in there that people will get when they hear it, I hope.
Okay. Well, Jody, what attracted you to this play, first of all, when you first read it? What made you think, I have to direct this play?
Well, I'm a Tennessee Williams fan. I was mm-hmm. actually in The Glass Menagerie when Eunice did it way back when. And when I saw it being advertised in Baton Rouge several years ago, probably 10 or so years ago, I thought, this has got to be funny. This has got to be. And so I went and I saw it there and I was thrilled. It was so funny. And I caught a lot of the references being familiar with Tennessee Williams, but didn't think about directing it at that time. And then, year before last, a little theater in Lockport was doing it. And my mom and I said, we got to go. So we did. And it was from that production that we said, you know what, we can do this. And that's what brought me to it.
What do you like, first of all, about Tennessee Williams? What draws you to him?
Oh, it's genuine drama. Mm-hmm. It's genuine. it's you know, so many of his plays are about fantasy and being taken out of reality and family dysfunction. But there's so much truth to it. You know, it's about fantasy, but there's the truth is that we all live in that fantasy world and dream of something that takes us out of our reality.
Mm-hmm. Genuine drama. I like the way you describe that. Mm-hmm. So what is it, conversely, that makes it so spoofable? Why do you think that it was so, this play works?
You know, I think if you look at, Tennessee Williams, particularly, in my opinion, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, there's a lot to parody. Just some of the sensibilities, the language, mm-hmm. views of the South. The crazy relationships and innuendos in that show. It's got a little bit of all that. Sometimes it's a parody of itself. Of course, this show really takes the meat of that and turns it into a full comedy.
Do you suppose some of the parody comes from, and I think many of us have seen the movies that have been made out of those plays. You mentioned Marlon Brando, and instantly that image comes up in our heads, what his character mm-hmm. in A Streetcar Named Desire in the film. Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, I mean, how can you forget Paul Newman, Elizabeth Taylor, and those actors. And they're so iconic, you almost wonder if maybe that's where some of the spoofing comes from.
A lot of iconic actors, lines. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a theaterphile or even an avid moviegoer to know some of these and to right. appreciate, you know, what a show like this would do in terms of taking them and making a parody out of it.
I mean, as a child, I had no idea who Tennessee Williams was, mm-hmm. but I remember my mother repeating those little no-neck monsters.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
laughing about the film that she had seen. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's filtered down into our consciousness, whether we knew it was Tennessee Williams or not, you know, those lines mm-hmm. that are unforgettable that came about. So let's go through the plays that are represented and spoofed in this play. And I want to tell people who are just tuning in, we're talking about the play The Glass Mendacity, which was written by Maureen Morley and Tom Wilmorth. My guests are with the Eunice Players Theater. Jody Powell is directing The Glass Mendacity, and John Schneider is acting in it. So let's go through those three plays and just remind people what they're about.
The Glass Menagerie centers on one family headed by Amanda. She's the matriarch of the family. Her husband has abandoned the family, and she lives in a dream world, where he may return, or something is going to take them out of the squalor that they're living in now because of his abandonment. She was very popular in her day, had a lot of gentleman callers, and she dreams the same for her daughter, Laura, who is socially awkward, has a limp, very shy, and so she implores her son, Tom, who is more in reality than anybody because he's got a full-time job and gets out of the apartment. She implores him to find a gentleman caller for Laura, and he brings home somebody who turns out to be engaged to another. And Amanda is infuriated at the deceit that she thinks the man has brought to her family.
And we can see a lot of possibilities for both genuine drama and also humor, I guess, with the idea of a gentleman caller and all of the mishaps that can come from that, those expectations.
Yeah, one of the themes that runs through all the plays is this living in the past, mm-hmm. That they mm-hmm. live in a time that doesn't exist anymore, and they want that. And it's the characters, like you're saying, that are also ripe for parody. It's their mm-hmm. quirkiness. There's something about every one of them that can be twisted sideways and turn out to be very funny. And what we do in the play, and as the authors direct us to, is just play it straight. They're saying the same lines, some of the same lines that were in the dramas, but they come off so funny when you put a little spin to them, and when you add a little different scenario to it, it comes off mm-hmm. funny instead.
Put it in a different mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. So The Glass Menagerie, and then there's The Streetcar Named Desire, which again, so many of us know from that film. What's the story of Streetcar Named Desire, John?
I'm going to defer to Jody. She's
even though you're
them.
Stanley.
She's doing a good job.
Let me jump back on something you were saying about mm-hmm. Stanley and playing a variety of characters here. Some of the characters in this play, Mendacity, are an amalgam of a couple of characters from a couple of the shows. Some of them are pure, like Stanley is purely Stanley. Laura is purely Laura. But the guy playing Mitch is a combination of Mitch from A Streetcar Named Desire, Tom from The Glass Menagerie, as the brother and the narrator.
Mm-hmm. All right, so some of the boundaries aren't always strict.
Right, and Amanda from The Glass Menagerie, she's part Amanda from Menagerie and part Big Mama from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yeah, and Stanley Kowalski, of course, in Streetcar, he's married to Stella. In this show, he's married to Blanche DuBois, who is a sibling of Brick and Laura. So
that right there, Craig.
really pushing the boundaries.
Exactly. Multiple personalities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So just that little bit gives us a sense of that humor. So Streetcar Named Desire, what is the core story there?
Oh, gosh. Got Blanche, who...
They're sisters.
No, yeah. Well, Blanche and Stella are sisters. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Blanche has been ousted from her plantation and has landed on her sister's doorstep. And again, she lives in that fantasy world, a world in the past that doesn't exist anymore, where she was beautiful and had a happy marriage, and now she doesn't anymore. Her husband has committed suicide, and she's desperately clinging to her faded looks. And she meets Mitch, whom she wants to marry, and he's lonely and desperate also, and he thinks that she's the right person for him until he finds out about the lies and deceit that she lives with mm-hmm. as a means of facing her reality.
Mm-hmm. Already we're seeing those same threads you're talking mm-hmm. about, living in the past, lies and deceit. Mm-hmm. And, of course, cat on a hot tin roof.
It's all about mendacity. You know, it's all about the lies of Brick not admitting his homosexuality and Maggie feigning a pregnancy so that she can inherit the house and Big Daddy not facing the fact that he's literally dying, but, you know, pretending that everybody pretending that he's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so these three plays, The Glass Menagerie, Streetcar Named Desire, and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, are all smushed together in the glass mendacity, some characters straight, some mixed up. What is the situation? Are there just like vignettes, or does it actually have a cohesive narrative?
No, it's a full-blown show, very cohesive from, mm-hmm. from beginning to end. I guess it probably borrows mostly from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof in terms of the underlying things going on, the scheming, and not necessarily the relationships and how they work, but from, you know, beginning to end, it's about, you know, who's going to get Big Daddy's estate, who's going to mm-hmm. get the house. Mm-hmm. So it takes that vehicle and just kind of colors it with, you know, everything else from the other shows.
Right. I guess Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, it has that big sprawling feel, mm-hmm. so you can sort of fit more action and characters in it. The mm-hmm. others feel much mm-hmm. closer and closed,
yeah.
like
yeah,
a tinder
right.
box or something.
That's right, yeah, like yeah. a sterile metallic yeah. environment.
That's right.
Yes. Gosh, I was going to add, yes, it does have the one central plot. It does have a subplot also with Laura and a gentleman caller. But I want to point out that you don't have to be familiar with Tennessee Williams to enjoy this play. The comedy is broad-based. It's a very funny, standalone play, just the situations and the characters that are drawn already. If you know Tennessee Williams, you'll enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah, it just deepens your appreciation for it, but you mm-hmm. can appreciate the humor and the characters and the action of the play without knowing all of that as
Absolutely.
Well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So who are the other characters? You've been mentioning names and how they merge into other characters. Who are your other actors in the play?
Ooh, we have Kevin Miller and Debbie Ardwin from the Eunice Players Theater, stalwarts there, who are playing Blanche and Big Daddy. And Mary Gail Lamonti Devilliers has been seen on the Eunice stages and the Opelousa stages for many years. She took a little hiatus, but she's back now playing Big Amanda Mama Woman.
A lot of slashes.
Or Big Mama Amanda Woman. How do you say it? It's so funny the way John says it.
Big Amanda Mama Woman Lady.
Alabama Bama Bama Mama.
Something like that. Erin Segura, who's been seen in many theaters in Acadiana, including New Iberia, St. Martinville, Lafayette, is now on the Eunice stage. She's our shy Laura. We have Alan Higginbotham, also of Eunice. This is his second play with us. He's very happy to join the cast as Mitch and Tom, the gentleman caller. And who am I leaving out? Oh, Katrin Schmidt. Katrin's been around a good while, too, seen in Lafayette, and has done a little bit of film work, too, and she is our Maggie the Cat. And she is excellent. And she runs around and slips the whole play. You know, if you remember it from the movie, she opens with a slip. Well, mm-hmm. she's got a slip for every occasion, a slip for every situation in this play.
What a great,
her
great
party slip, her poker
role.
Slip.
And what shoes or slippers to fill with mm-hmm. Thinking about those slips in that movie. Well, what about your Stanley character? How is he different? Do you play him differently? How is his character defined in this play? Is he that same brutish?
I'll be honest with you, he's pretty one-dimensional.
Obtuse,
it's a no-brainer. You know, you take, you want to compare it to what Brando did. I mean, I just gave him kind of a ridiculous New Orleans accent and mm-hmm. pretty laid it on pretty thick. And mm-hmm. no, I mean, it's stereotypical, you know, working class brute. Mm-hmm. There's some things going on there, you know, sexist, certainly. He's there's a little thing going on between him and Maggie a little bit. It can get a little steamy and wrong and funny
wrong.
All the same time. But, yeah, it's fun. It's a no-brainer, just sort of uh-huh. a stereotypical Joe.
So he's not saved. There's no sort of redemption really for him in this.
You know what? You could take it as though he is. He towards the end. I don't want to spoil
it,
but
it
yeah, the, you know, there's some redemption there. you know, he kind of finds a new place in terms of the relationships that are going on.
Okay, we'll let the play play out for that.
Yeah.
And Jody, how is it directing this a second time? Obviously, cast kind of determines how it feels, but just your sense of the play and its comedy and structure. How are you feeling about it directing it this time?
I am loving it. It's actually a little easier this go round because my actors are familiar with the material. You know, we've already done some of that character work that we need to do. They were familiar with the lines. If you recall, last year when we did it as sort of a staged reading. They had music stands and scripts, but they had some props and there was some blocking and we had essence of a set. You know, this time it's a full-blown production, so it's a richer experience. A fuller theatrical experience, but like I said, a lot of the preliminary work was already done. And we did replace two of the former actors selected out this time and brought in two new people, but they just fit right into everything else that was going on.
So a number of your actors are the same.
Five
and they're very, very familiar with the material.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I left out a very important actor. There's Brick, of course. You know, you can't do Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, even a parody, without Brick. Mm-hmm. And so Brick is he's a little stiff. He's a little two-dimensional. He's the strong, silent type. But he's definitely got a big role in the play.
I had forgotten that part.
Mm-hmm.
Glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. And you have to come see him.
You have to go see him.
Yeah, that guy's great.
He's a sight to behold. He knew his lines before anybody did.
All right. Well, that says a lot as well. So this is going to be in Eunice. Describe the place where you've been performing in the same place for 44 years. Describe that for people. What is it like?
It's an old grocery store, actually. That's what it was a long time ago.
It's a lot of history.
Yeah, and the people who started it up back in 1969 were people from the community with a great appreciation for the arts and theater, and they thought it belonged in Eunice. And it certainly has belonged there for a long time. It's a small stage, 18 feet square, 18 by 18. Our house seats 100 people. And a little dressing area in the back, a little tiny lobby, but hanging all throughout the theater are posters from the shows that we've done over the seasons. So it's definitely a walk through time.
And I believe you'll even have your own awards ceremony, don't you?
We do.
With
we
Best
do.
Actor, Best
actor.
Play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So this could be in the running for this coming year.
Oh, absolutely it will.
Yeah, for the, the 44. How many years have you had the awards?
44 years.
44 years.
Well, 43. This will be our 44th.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that awards ceremony.
That's
So, John, after playing Stanley in The Glass Mendacity, do you have any desire to play him in the actual play, Streetcar Named Desire?
Well, I mean, you know, how do you go from the Stanley Kowalski that's married to Blanche DuBois and is trying to, you know, extort property from Big Daddy to
so dull, the,
the boring old iconic Stanley.
Yeah, that's a good spin on that.
I haven't given it much thought.
All right. But, well, we look forward to a whole new generation being introduced to Tennessee Williams through this play.
In a whole new way.
In a whole new way. They might find them
Stranger
just a little staid, you know, and not so exciting as the originals. We are talking about the Eunice Players Theater celebrating their 44th season, opening with The Glass Mendacity, directed by Jody Powell, my guest. And how long have you been involved with the Eunice Players?
I did my first play with them in 1978. I was in college at the time. I was at LSUE, and they were doing the summer musical Oliver. I joined the cast then and bought my first season ticket and have been a season ticket holder ever since, a board member for almost every year since then. Set out a few years and have probably directed, I don't know what the count is, it's over 20. Directed over 20 plays, have been in over 20 plays there.
Seasoned veteran.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's my home.
That's
my
a
home.
Lot of passion and commitment. And obviously it shows in the enthusiasm your actors have for performing there and how much the community supports your plays.
We have a lot of good community supports. In fact, every time I borrow a prop or a set piece or something for the play, I keep a running list so I can put their name in the special thanks. And it's quite long for this play. And I'm I was looking at it the other day and thinking, you know, what generous people we have who, you know, you call them up and you say, hey, do you have a such and such? And they say, yeah. Or you put a message on Facebook, I'm looking for such and such. And people respond with, you can borrow mine. You know,
great. So the Eunice Players has a Facebook presence.
We do.
People can find it by
Eunice Players Theater.
/Eunice. So look that up and you'll be apprised of this production. Yeah, I'm sure you have photographs up there.
We do. I'm a little late in putting them up, but there is one I put up this morning. Okay. But we also have a website. Mm-hmm. It's eunicplayers.blogspot.com. That's linked on the Facebook page. And it's pretty much identical information, but you can find us one way or another.
All right, so many ways to find out information about the performance.
And ticket information? Tickets are $10 each for all seats. They are available by phone, charged to your credit card by calling 337-546-0163 or 337-457-2156.
And can you purchase them online or just by calling?
No, we don't have an online service, but many times you can purchase them at the door, too. You know, it just depends on how well we're doing. So I'd say buy your ticket early.
It's an intimate theater, 100 seats, but still as popular as I'm sure this play will be. You may want to get your tickets ahead of time as well.
Yeah, hope so.
If you have just tuned in, we've been talking about The Glass Mendacity. It is a spoof of Tennessee Williams plays, three of them, The Glass Menagerie, A Streetcar Named Desire, and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. But as my guest director Jody Powell says, you don't need to know any of those plays in order to appreciate this play. It opens on the 14th, so that's next week, and will run for how many performances?
7 performances. We have the 14th and 15th of next week, Thursday and Friday, and then the 17th, which is Sunday. Then we're off for a couple of days and come back on Wednesday with our traditional dinner theater, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We close on the 23rd.
So several opportunities to see, but don't delay because that often happens. You know, you wait a little too long. So you can get your tickets or write it on your calendar about The Glass Mendacity. Thanks so much for coming by. Jody Powell with the Eunice Players Theater directing The Glass Mendacity, and John Schneider, who plays Stanley and purely Stanley in The Glass Mendacity.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
We look forward to your performance. And I'm sure a lot of people would love to hear you yell Stella, but
we'll save it as a surprise.
Okay.
Come out and enjoy.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.